And I'm sitting here, Magneto Mel, with our National Air Traffic Controllers Association folks again. We've got Kelly Richardson and Chris Karanoff.
Oh, you remembered my name after all these years.
Please. It's only been forever.
Yeah. About 8 years. I think we came up here the first time together.
The original reason why we called this Push to Talk, because we were chatting with the controllers and letting people call in and ask some questions. So now Kelly, you're not a controller.
No, I work for NACA. I'm up here, you know, with Chris, so Chris can answer any ATC questions. But, Chris is a controller at Miami Center. He's a great controller, and he's great out here talking to these pilots. But, you know, I just wanted to, one of our main things for being here and going to a lot of the other aviation things around the country is trying to build that relationship between pilot and controller and really try to push pilots to feel comfortable talking to controllers, because so many times we see pilots are very, very nervous to walk up and talk to an air traffic controller.
On so and off the frequency.
It doesn't matter. They feel they're going to write their number down and report them.
Give you a number to call.
Yeah, and do something to them. And that's not what these guys do. You know, they're doing a job. They're giving you guys a service. And, you know, we want pilots to be comfortable with them on and off the radio. So yeah, we have to go out to the pilots.
Right. Yeah, that'd probably be a great pickup line. Here, let me give you a number to call.
Yeah, pretty much. What's your tail number?
So what are you doing about that? What are you doing to make, to break that barrier?
Things like Oshkosh and working with a lot of the other aviation organizations, but doing forums, try to get as many, public speaking engagements as we can around the country, especially here. This is a great opportunity that we can get out, because, one thing you do find is, with anybody, and pilots aren't any different, that when you're in a group, you're more comfortable asking questions to somebody that you're not normally comfortable talking to. So
yeah, pilots are people too.
Yep, they're not any different. So, we just try to make them comfortable and encourage them to come up and ask questions or get to know your controllers, go to your local facilities, go in and ask for tours. One thing that you never ever hear is go and offer to take them up for a ride. If you, you want them to feel comfortable, you don't want them to see what you're doing, maybe they've got a, Tuesday or Wednesday afternoon off. Take them up.
To breach a little bit of a tangential subject with that, just talking with some of the deaf pilots yesterday. I mean, Kelly, you've known me for a while. I work with the deaf pilots, and everybody always wants to know, how do they communicate? And on the deaf pilot side, they think that, they have, and they largely fly uncontrolled airspace, but there are a lot of regions where that's not necessarily possible. And they think that air traffic control has nothing to do with them. And I always encourage them, even the deaf pilots, go in, meet the facilities. When you're trying to ask somebody for a special letter of agreement, if you want them to bring you in and use light gun signals, let them know that communication barrier can be breached on that side
on
as
other
well.
Levels.
Right, exactly. So always, always tour the facilities. If you get a chance to go to a center, great.
Yeah, there's only, 23 of them around the so they're a little bit harder for some people.
That's why I say if you get a chance. But, otherwise, try the TRACONs and definitely a local tower.
Yeah, definitely get into the local tower. A lot of facilities, especially smaller facilities, are up-down. Some of them do consolidate into another one. And go check. I definitely encourage people to go to the approach control facility, because what you'll see in a tower and what you'll see in an approach control and what you see in a center is there. I mean, it's like the sun, the moon, and the stars. I mean, they're that much different. So, there's completely different worlds. There's completely different things to learn. And we encourage people to go out and contact the facilities.
With that being said, too, air traffic controllers, for me, for instance, I don't have one logged hour in an aircraft. I'm not a pilot. I never flew when I went to Embry-Riddle.
No desire.
Well, it's not that I didn't have any desire, but a lot of my funding went to my education to be a controller, and I really didn't have any other funds to go to Riddle and do what I did.
So what you're saying is a pilot needs to come and offer you a ride.
Well,
log an hour.
There's a lot of controllers that I, you know, went to school with that I work with now that were pilots, and basically from that perspective, it's a lot easier for me to ask questions pertaining to being up in the air, you know, because there's a lot of controllers that were pilots that they say, hey, sometimes being a controller is tougher when you're a pilot than it is to not know anything about being a pilot and being an air traffic controller, because it's tough for people that were pilots to take themselves out of the cockpit when they're trying to control air traffic.
And do the opposite. And correct. Be like in the opposite atmosphere.
Correct. Right, right, so, right. I mean, we actually, with the FAA now, we're getting familiarization trips back.
Starting September 1st, controllers will get into commercial cockpits.
Correct.
Okay.
Which hasn't happened since
2001. Since
9/11. So, you know, that'll happen. But, you know, there's a big difference between commercial aircraft and GA.
Right.
So, you know,
and there's a big difference between various types of commercial aircraft. I mean, you've got
and GA,
right, and right. The GA aircraft. I mean, you know, GA can be a Lear, but you know,
could be a little 172
or something. It could be an RV, you know,
mm-hmm.
An old Warbird that's I want to say revised, restored.
Yeah, and definitely, if you have a 2-seater Warbird out there. And you want to take a controller up, or somebody like me, please feel free to
have one of those F-16s parked
to
in the back.
Call in now, because we're ready.
Hint.
Yeah, exactly. So any vintage aircraft would be great. But these guys would love to go up and get to know the local pilots and, you know, and check, because a lot of facilities also do a lot of pilot outreach, and, you know, a lot of pilots don't know that they're doing it. But, you know, we try to get the word out as much as possible, but
what about? Well, go ahead.
Oh, no, sometimes, it's just, you know, they just don't get the information.
Well, what about people that are flying in your airspace and they're not talking to you? You know, you get that. People mm-hmm. that they're VFR, they're not doing flight following.
Right.
You know, they're squawking 1200. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would still encourage them. I mean, maybe some of them are doing that because they're a little intimidated about talking. They don't want to log in. But they're still a part of what you have to route.
Right.
And separate
traffic.
And
right,
sequence.
Exactly. Basically, from that perspective, like for my airspace, I talked about it yesterday, being right near Cape Canaveral, we get tons of VFR targets that pop up right around the TFR, right outside Cape Canaveral when a space shuttle goes up, and it's almost impossible for aircraft that are already getting flight following to... I'm constantly terminating VFR flight following because it's not unsafe, but I just don't feel comfortable being able to work IFR traffic. And obviously, you know, VFR flight following is a
courtesy.
It's prioritizing for me, you know. So, but VFR, I try and stress this as much as possible. If you're monitoring a frequency and you understand that the frequency might be busy and you have a question or a concern, try and find the right time to interject, but try and not to be, I guess you can say, a nuisance to the frequency or tying up the frequency. But if you have a question or a concern, it's better safe than sorry. So
or
just,
chatty.
Yeah, exactly.
People that are chatty.
Right.
Yeah. I wouldn't know anything about that.
I've heard a few audio clips that run on and on and on.
I try to be concise when I'm on frequency up there. That's a little different scenario. But
especially,
I have heard people that get up and, you know, so how are the kids? How is things going down there?
And,
you know,
all the sunshine is beautiful that's coming up over. And you're like...
Well, there's a lot of flight schools down in my area and, you know, a lot of new pilots. And that's what we talk about all the time. You always know at the beginning of semesters when everybody's just starting out because nobody has... any idea how to talk on the radio. And that's like a big pet peeve of all of us that work like approach control down at Miami Center in our sector. It's tough to sit there and say, hey, listen, this is all we need. We just need your call sign, your position, your altitude, and your intentions. Don't tie up the frequency because we might be busy.
Any suggestions for instructors, flight ground instructors alike, on perhaps a way to convey or what you'd like to see conveyed?
Well, that should be conveyed. I mean, I'm pretty sure that's taught in ground school.
Sure, but there's a variation on the emphasis on
right.
the importance of that.
Right.
So that's why I'm
quick and concise. That's yep. I mean, it just gets your information out there. And obviously if we're busy and, you know, we'll recognize the call sign, and like we have empty strips that we just write, hey, November 1234, I'll get right back to you, you know. And I mean, once the congestion on the frequency settles down, we'll get back to you. I mean, if we have the time, that's our job, you know. So we
you guys are monitoring multiple frequencies at a time.
Correct.
So it might, what you may not hear anything, it might just be total silence to you, but these guys may be getting two or three other frequencies that are just
coordinating sectors. And,
And I mean, that's another thing. You know, when we're on the frequency, it's just not us talking to airplanes. It's controllers talking to controllers. You know, us coordinating with Orlando approach, coordinating with other sectors in our airspace.
And sometimes on the phone talking to someone, you know, their communications. You're silent maybe to all the frequencies, but not necessarily in terms of your job.
Right.
I have visited my local facilities.
That's good. And, you know, and even if you're not... You know, in an area, if you're flying into an airport and you're like, oh, I'd kind of like to, you know, if you know ahead of time, you know, give them a 3 days, a week, something like that, and call them up and say, hey, I'm going to be coming through there at this point. Is there any way I can set something up? But give them a heads up and let them know. And, you know, they should, most facilities will be able to help you work that out. But definitely encourage going out and educating. Expand and get to know your controllers and just get used to talking to them.
Right.
And as we're running...
not the police.
You're not... Right. No. You're there to help, not to...
Exactly.
They're there to talk.
Right.
And they
love
to talk.
Well, as we're running a little long on time, short on time, is there anything else that you wanted to...
Well, if anybody's here, you know, our booth is between the runway and the air traffic control tower. You know, feel free to stop by. You know, we're trying our best to try to get FAA reauthorization back up. So if you've got a second and you want to send a letter to your congressional member, please stop by and help us out, because there's a lot of things out there that are not working right now, and we need to get them back to work. So.
Right. And you need some controllers. So, I mean, you got controllers retirement age coming up, 56.
We've got a lot of controllers. There's going to be another huge retirement wave here in the near future. I know there's a lot of CTI schools out there. If you are young and you want to get into something, this is a great field to get into. There's going to be a lot of opportunity in the next few years to get into air traffic control. And we're doing a lot to work with the CTI schools and even high schools and programs and things to, you know, encourage and educate them and help them through the process. It's not a short or easy process, but...
Under the age of, say, about 28 or so get in there on time.
Yeah, you've got to figure, you've got... right now, it seems like there's about a two-year wait to get hired.
I'd say
so.
Two years
you need to be out of that CTI school more than 2 years. Three would be a better before your 31st birthday.
Right.
You need to definitely have a little buffer.
Otherwise, you go through school, you spend that money, you spend that time, and then wait and never get hired.
And you may hit the age and not get in, and you know you may be pushing that bubble, and you're going through a lot of stress. So you know, try to save it.
Understood.
And get in as possible. And don't just look at your local CTI school. There's a lot of them around the country. You may find one you can get in earlier and one that you can get through a little faster. So,
right. A lot of people go off to school, so there shouldn't be any different with this.
Yes.
Yeah. Great. Well, I thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
You say you're there in the NACA booth, and anywhere people can look it up online?
We're right there between the control tower and the runway, and come over and find us. We have.
And if you're not on the grounds or tomorrow when we're all gone,
you can go to
I got this question.
NACA.org, or actually you can go to AOPA.org. AOPA has a controller corner part of their website. You can go on there and submit questions to air traffic controllers and find some videos and things that we've done with AOPA. We've done a lot of work with them to educate pilots and really build this pilot controller relationship.
Great.
So AOPA will help out a lot.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for all your information and taking your time to come in here and be with us.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thanks
for having us.
Kelly Richardson and Chris Karanoff with the National Air Traffic Controllers Association.